Welcome back. This is Jennifer Richmond, and this is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study, where we love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we let the Word of God dwell in us richly. It's lesson four, and we're on day four, and we are just at the beginning of the book of Esther. And so if you are just now joining us for the study, it's a great time to be here. I do encourage you to go back and listen to the introduction part of this lesson. You can find all of the videos for these Bible study lessons on my YouTube channel, Jennifer Richmond, and over on Facebook at the LMCC Women's page or my Jennifer Richmond blog page, and of course right here on the playlist on the Jennifer Richmond blog or the podcast. So wherever you are, however you're listening, I'm glad that you're with us, and make sure you're joining in from the beginning because it's so much better to get the rich backstory as we move into the study. So that brings us up in current for today. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever's on your mind, whatever has brought you to this moment with your Bible, out of curiosity or out of obligation to get it done, whatever your reasons are, I'm glad you're here. We're going to go ahead and open with a word of prayer and get started with today's lesson after I get my microphone back in place. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time in the Word today. As we open up your Word, I ask that you would illuminate our mind and open our hearts to hear from you directly. Thank you for the wisdom that you give us as we pray that prayer. And we ask that you would bless our time together to the glory of your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let me go ahead and switch screens over so you can see the lesson. Those of you who are listening on the podcast, I do make all of these available on video, but I know it's easier sometimes for people just to listen on the podcast and imagine it in your brain, or maybe you're following along on your own note page. But here we go. As always, we open with prayer, and then we begin by writing and memorizing our focus verse for the session, and that's going to be out of Psalm 42. We are memorizing all of Psalm 42, and this lesson's portion is 7 and 8. Let me go ahead and read those to you right now. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. So take a moment and pause in listening right now and handwrite that in to the opening of your lesson so that you can have that to refer back to, and you'll get into the practice of writing that and memorizing it and letting God's word truly dwell in you richly. So let's go ahead on to our lesson. These are, as always, available over on my blog, jennifergrichmond.com. So go ahead and check that out over there. We are going to be doing some readings today out of Ephesians as well as Esther. Let's go ahead and begin our time writing out the portion of Esther that we're studying today, which is Esther 1, 13 to 22. Today I'm going to read that for you out of the New English Translation, or the NET Bible. The king then inquired of the wise men who were discerners of the times, for it was the royal custom to confer with all those who were proficient in laws and legalities. Those who were closest to him were Karshena, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Meris, Marsena, Memucan. These men were the seven officials of Persia and Media who saw the king on a regular basis and had the most prominent offices in the kingdom. The king asked, "By law, what should be done to Queen Vashti in light of the fact that she has not obeyed the instructions of King Ahasuerus conveyed through the eunuchs?" Memucan then replied to the king and the officials, "The wrong of Queen Vashti is not against the king alone, but against all the officials and all the people who are throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For the matter concerning the queen will spread to all the women, leading them to treat their husbands with contempt, saying, 'When King Ahasuerus gave orders to bring Queen Vashti into his presence, she would not come.' And this very day, the noble ladies of Persia and Media, who have heard the matter concerning the queen, will respond in the same way to all the royal officials, and there will be more than enough contempt and anger. If the king is so inclined, let a royal edict go forth from him, and let it be written in the laws of Persia and Media that cannot be repealed, that Vashti may not come into the presence of King Ahasuerus. And let the king convey her royalty to another who is more deserving than she." and let the king's decision, which he will enact, be disseminated throughout all the kingdom, vast though it is. Then all the women will give honor to their husbands, from the most prominent to the most lowly. The matter seemed appropriate to the king and the officials, so the king acted on the advice of Memucan. He sent letters throughout all the royal provinces, to each province according to its own script, and to each people according to its own language, that every man should be ruling his family and should be speaking the language of his own people. I love this story. I love the way the author writes it. I hope we get to meet this guy someday. We are also going to read, and I've selected for the remainder of our lesson, not only the writing that we'll be doing in Esther, and by the way, this would be a good moment to pause in listening and watching this video and take the time to write out Esther 1, 13 to 22. You want to make sure you have all of Esther's chapters 1 through 3 done at the end of lesson 4. That's your goal as we move through this lesson. So we're going to move now and read Ephesians 5, 21 through 33, because they're going to come into play and give us a background for the application part of our lesson today. Let's go ahead and call that up. So Ephesians 5, 21 through 23, highlighted lovely for you in yellow. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So there's our reading from Esther, which I hope you've written at this point, if you've come back after pausing, and then our reading for the background of this lesson as well. All right, so let's go ahead and complete our study lessons and our study questions. I mean, what does God say about kings and rulers? Let's take a look over at Daniel 2. I better hit the button that better there. Let's take a look at Daniel 2, 20 through 21. And we read in that passage, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." So what does God say about kings and rulers? Well, simply that he's the one that puts them in their place. It is up to God to bring a king into rule. He changes the times. He changes the seasons. So we have spring and winter, and then we have President 1 and President 2. And we have fall, and we have summer, and we have King 1 and King 2, and so on and so forth like that. So to whom does the king turn after Vashti's infamous refusal? Describe them based on the account in Esther 1, 13 through 15. So if you go back over to Esther 1 and we take a look at 13 through 15, I'll go ahead and call it up on the screen so that you can see it. In this passage here, I called it up on the screen and I clicked over so you couldn't see it. In this passage here, we see that he turns to his seven wise men. They are princes of Persia and Media who saw his face, says, and they sat first in the kingdom, and they knew the law. So these are the men that the king relied on when he needed extra special advice. All right, who's the leader of this group of men? Well, this guy's name is Memucan right here. I'll go ahead and highlight him. Let's see. I like to highlight in brown. I'll do blue. I'll put him in blue. How's that? I'm using my, there it is. If I'm using my nice pen, my pencil, I mean, I usually put people in brown. All right, you probably already have them highlighted because you already did your read through. So, all right, back to the question at hand. So, who's the leader of this group? Who's the leader of the band? His name was Memucan. And what was his advice? And go to verse 1, chapter 1, verse 19. It says he basically advises to depose the queen, make an example of her so that the other woman won't follow suit and disobey their husbands. So he's worried about what the repercussions of all this might be. As we continue on, I'm going to go ahead and pause here and read this portion I've written for you at the side of your lesson called Study Smart. There is a difference in scripture between a passage that describes events and a passage that prescribe what we should or shouldn't do. The difference is summarized as either prescriptive or descriptive. The account of Esther, like all narrative accounts in the Bible, are filled with descriptions of what happens to key people in history. As you're studying, be careful not to take the descriptions of what happens as prescriptions for how you, as a follower of Christ, should or shouldn't behave. I guess I have a couple of typos to fix there, huh? Look for ways that God's character is revealed. See how those who are held up as godly or rebellious are behaving. Consider general principles in behavior that show obedience to or defiance of God's clear command. So oftentimes scripture can be taken out of context because people are using scripture as descriptive, and they're using it as if it was prescriptive. In other words, it's prescribing for them what to do, when really it's just describing what has been done. And so we have to be careful. We do have wisdom. So surely we wouldn't read a scripture like this and say, oh, you know, therefore Vashti should have come before the queen, the king. Or therefore Vashti is an example for all women to defy a king, right? It's not prescribing how we should behave as women any more than it's prescribing how men should behave as men. Like Memucan saying, oh, you know, if we don't fix this right now and make a lesson out of her, then other women are going to behave like this too. That's certainly not prescriptive. That's just describing his advice when he gives to the king. All right. So where does he advise that this edict be recorded? So you're reading along here. Hold on. Where does he advise that this edict gets recorded? Well, it's in this chronicle that is listed. He says, the wrong part of the matter discerning, and where's the recording part? Gave orders to bring the presence to not come. Nacht, that's who it is. That's not where it says it. Where's the part that says, I'm trying to find the exact wording for you. Some of you are like, I already see it. I found it already. I bet you Angelica, my goddaughter, is like, it's right there, right in front of you. And I'm just looking right at it. He wants it to be recorded as an edict and sent out through it the entire kingdom so that everybody has to obey this law. And if you remember through your reading in Esther, you remember that once a king in Persia makes an edict along these lines, it cannot be stricken. It has to be carried out, and nothing can change that kind of a law. So what was his rationale? What does he use as his rationale for why he thinks this should happen? This is in verses 16 and 18 through 18. He goes, he says, the wrong of Queen Vashti is not against the king alone, but against all the officials and all the people who are throughout the provinces of King Ahasuerus. He says, it's going to lead them to treat their husbands with contempt, and they'll respond in the same way to all the royal officials. There'll be more than enough contempt and anger if we don't respond to all of this nonsense Queen Vashti is doing. We got to respond. So read Esther 1:18 in several Bible versions. How does Mamukin describe potential home life in the wake of Vashti's rebellion? Honestly, I really found this kind of funny. Well, let me go ahead and call this back up here for you. And I've shown you this before, but if you use this feature on Bible Gateways, you can pull up multiple versions of it. In fact, you know what I'm going to do, since we're focusing on the one verse 18, I'm going to go ahead and just hit that. 1:18, boom. That way it'll just make it easier to read quickly. So ESV and New American Standard. What else do we have? If I just pop up here, it'll give me another one, the last one that I used. So in the ESV, it says, this very day, the noble women of Persia and Media who have heard of the queen's behavior will say the same to all the king's officials. There will be contempt and wrath in plenty. Or, and there will be, over here in the New American Standard, there will be plenty of contempt and anger. And in the Complete Jewish Bible, which will bring about no end of disrespect and discord. Let's hit one more. What do we have here? The New King James. Thus, there will be excessive contempt and wrath. Oh my gosh. So there's multiple ways that he describes.
Oh boy.
Sometimes you can resist a yawn as it comes over you. And apparently that wasn't one of those times. Woo. How does Vashti's husband's behavior contrast with God's prescription for husbands and wives? So remember the difference between prescribed behavior and described behavior. And this was recorded, of course, in Ephesians 5:21-25. Let's go back over to that. Submit to one another, mutual submission out of reverence for Christ, wives to your own husbands, husbands to your wives. And that husbands, verse 25, are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And you're thinking, oh, Christ wasn't even around yet. It's true. That's not the point, though. This is God's standard, period. Doesn't matter if Christ was around yet or not. This would have been the standard at all times for men to honor and love their wives and for there to be mutual submission. Does it always happen this way? Of course it doesn't. Men are jerks. Women are jerks. Men are loving. Women are loving. Vice versa. And all the spectrum, right? But this is God's prescription for how marriage should be, what the relationship should be like. Hebrew language is interesting. Let's take a look at this. The Hebrew word translated in plenty in the ESV, yukadeh, and it means literally more than enough. The king's man, Memucan, describes not only the upset this will cause in all Persian homes, he says there will be a trouble aplenty, or an excess of trouble. In other words, if you think we have difficulty now with our wives, imagine the trouble if we let this precedent be set. No way. We have to get in front of this. All right. What does Memucan think will be the result of the decree? Let's go back over here to clear out this. Just get back to our verse. I'll go ahead and get us over to our NET Bible for the day. And Esther 1. I'll just do Esther 1 and we'll scroll down and make sure we don't miss any other verses either. So verse 20. And let the king's decision, which he will enact, be disseminated throughout all the kingdom, vast though it is. Then all the women will give honor to their husbands, from the most prominent to the lowly. So what does he think is going to happen? He thinks, oh, if we do this, all the women will be compelled, basically, to honor their husbands. How is Memucan's advice a perversion of God's will for marriage? Well, God's will is that women should respect their husbands, and husbands respect their wives, that husbands should love their wives, and wives love their husbands, that there should be mutual submission. There should not be an edict that commands a woman to honor her husband. How does the king's edict compare with God's will for marriage? Should men be the master in their own households, like it says here in this passage, along the lines of Ahasuerus' decree? Why or why not? Should they be the master in their own households? What do you think? Do you think there's biblical precedent? Do you think it's prescriptive behavior to describe that men should master their own households? Keep in mind what it says in Ephesians. I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. And let's wrap it up with this passage from two verses from Proverbs 20, verse 1, and Proverbs 31, verse 4. Consider the behavior of the king in the preceding 187 days leading up to this moment. Imagine how things would have been different had the king followed the prescription of the one true God in these commands. Let's take a look. If you don't want to hold up the New Testament as a command that should have been obeyed, let's take a look at what says happens here in Proverbs 20. Well, wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler. Whoever is led astray by it is not wise. What had the king been doing up to this point? Drinking heavily. And now he's seeing the results of that. The mocking that comes out of drinking, or the brawling that comes out of strong drink. And is he wise? Of course he's not wise. Let's take a look at what it says in Proverbs 31. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to take strong drink. And what has our king done? Ahasuerus? Broken that common sense and broken that law, that rule that God has set as an example of how kings should behave, how any of us should behave, to not be controlled by wine. All right, well, let's go ahead and just wrap up with this short little reflection moment here. Jesus, the King of all kings, stands as the ultimate contrast to the godless kings and husband. Where Ahasuerus was drunk, Jesus was sober. Where Ahasuerus gathered to himself self-interested yes men, Jesus gathered the God-honoring and humble. Where Ahasuerus sought to elevate himself and disrespect his wife, Jesus lowered himself and elevated women and all wives. God will use this prideful king's rash edict to make a way for a new queen and to ultimately save his people, reminding us again that all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. All right, well, thank you for being here once again in our study today. Hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to share and save. I always hear from you later, several of you, that you're listening in, and I would love to actually hear from you. So take a moment to do that. I don't know, do you rush off before wrapping up the lesson? Well, go ahead and say hi. Just let me know that you're listening in today. I'd love to hear from you. Know, as always, that you are loved and prayed for, and I look forward to being back here again with you at our next lesson. Bye-bye for now.